I'm very thankful that God allowed me to come, even for this short trip. My heart is very filled up by being here. I stood up here yesterday, and even as I was walking up, I was very encouraged to see so many here, even on a Wednesday meeting. And I hear that on Sundays, this hall is quite full, sometimes to overflowing. And I wondered, what does Jesus think when he sees such a large group of people? I think many of you, despite the fact that CFC upholds such a high standard and has not lowered the standard, I see God drawing many. CFC has never been about numbers and still is not. And yet, many are drawn, not only in this place, and God has allowed the river of life that's flowing out of CFC to touch many people around the world, many on YouTube and other places. And I wondered what Jesus thinks about it. And I see a little example in Matthew 9. If you'll turn there with me, I won't keep you long, just briefly share something on my heart. Matthew 9, we read in verse 36 that when Jesus saw the crowds, Matthew 9, verse 36, he felt compassion for them. And I believe Jesus feels compassion for you. I want to just say that for a moment. Dear brother, dear sister, dear child, in the midst of the highest standard of holiness that is preached in this church, from this pulpit, and even what we just heard, remember, Jesus is a compassionate friend to you. He knows your struggle. If you are really serious about being freed from sin and living a life that's pleasing to Him, if you really mean it, He knows your struggle. He knows your failure. He knows your heart, and He has compassion on you. He feels compassion for you. And He sees that you all could pick any number of other churches to go to make your home. But if you choose this place, despite the fact that it is an uncomfortable place to be in, to call as home, as a church, it's because you're after something, you're hungry for something, and He feels compassion for you. But the compassion He felt was not because of all their needs, which you read about in the previous verse. There were all kinds of sickness and disease and demon possession and all that. But His compassion for them, and He was distressed and they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And that's been the... And then He goes on to say, pray that the beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out shepherds, 37 and 38, into His harvest. And my encouragement, the word that the Lord has given me for myself, and I want to encourage each of you with, dear brothers and sisters, is what God is looking for is people who have the heart of a shepherd. If you've been here for, let's say, a year, and you've seen around you more people coming, what do you think about? What goes through your mind? Is it, wow, we've become a good church, a big church? There's more children, maybe, for your children to be your friends for them. There's more people for you to socialize with. Or do you have the heart of Jesus? Are you in tune with the Holy Spirit that it produces within you a longing to be a shepherd? And by shepherd here, I don't believe He just means elders. The elders are our shepherds, and a wonderful example in that. But what God needs, and I believe what CFC Bangalore needs, and I don't stand here as one to tell you what you need, but I believe this for all my heart, for the local church that I'm a part of, and I believe for this church as well, is people with the heart of a shepherd. And I believe that if you've been in this church for a year, even 6 months, we ought to have the heart of a shepherd. And that could be for you children as well. Because if you've been here for 6 months and you're taking your life seriously, you're walking after, following Jesus, taking up your cross and following Him, you can be a shepherd to somebody who's newer. You see a visitor. You see somebody else that's come here newer than you. Somebody else that looks distressed and dispirited. Somebody who looks like they're defeated in some way. You can be a shepherd to them. And you may never get up here and speak. You may never have any prominent ministry, but you can be a shepherd. A shepherd is one who has a longing for the needs of others and is willing to be inconvenienced. I've thought of it like this. If any of you was a shepherd, the people sitting around you would know it. Because you would smell like a shepherd. You would smell like you've been around sheep. That stink from the sheep is on you now. And I've prayed the last few years, Lord, I want to have the smell of a shepherd. I want to be one who in my spirit is carrying the burdens and the needs of others. And it's not just the elders. I don't mean it as an elder, but as a member of the church. This is how you know you are a member of the church here, truly. Not because the elders have a list or anything like that, but that you have a shepherd's heart, a care for those around you. And you smell like a shepherd. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you have to pretend that you have do a lot of counseling for people or anything like that. Like we heard, it could be a simple word where you are listening and the ear, you have the ear of a disciple. In verse 4 and 5, he says, therefore you have the tongue of a disciple to encourage the weary, to say one word of encouragement to somebody that encourages them, that lifts them up, that sustains them. And I think of how Jesus' whole life was a life of inconvenience. You read that in Philippians 2, for example, when it says that he, we'll turn there briefly, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, or I would paraphrase that, who, although he had the most convenient circumstances imaginable, he was God, and had that position as God, all the angels worshiping him, had no lack, no need at all. Although he had the most convenient life possible, inconvenienced himself. All of the things that it goes on to say after that is inconvenience. He chose inconvenience for the sake of me and you. He chose that. And that's the head whose body we are. And you know that you're really a part of Christ's body if you, like the head, are choosing the way of inconvenience. And you know the story of in Mark chapter 2 of those men. Let me turn there briefly. Mark chapter 2, those men who brought their friend to Jesus for healing. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And then we read, they were not even told their names. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Here were four men who were willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of their friend. They had a friend who was in need. They didn't have any need. They could walk fine, but they knew a friend who was in need. And they were willing to be inconvenienced. And I can imagine if you have to walk a long distance carrying this man, four of you walking, and then you come to this house. And there's no room to even enter the door because it's so many people. And they could have thought, okay, let's come back another day. Can't get into Jesus. No, they had a desperate desire. And so you read the story. They climbed up on the roof with this man. These four men lifted that man up and climbed up on top of the roof. And then broke a hole in the wall. You can read that story. And lowered him in. And it says there in verse 5 that Jesus saw their faith and healed this paralytic man. I've always been challenged that this is how I ought to come to the church meeting. This is how I ought to consider myself a member of the church. Lord, I want you to be able to see faith in my heart for CFC, for my brothers and sisters here. I'm not coming here like we heard even just now. I'm not coming here to gain something out of it. I'm not thinking of myself. I'm saying, Lord, I want to be a functioning member of your church. I don't want a good place for my children or a place where I can find a wife or a husband or nice Sunday school or they have picnics now and then. That's for clubs. But our church ought to be a place where we come here with a burden for others. Lord, I want to see your name glorified. And if your name has been glorified in my life, that's wonderful. Now I want to see it glorified in the life of that brother who's struggling, that backslidden young teenager, that backslidden person in their 20s, that other child that's lonely, that other brother, that sister that's lonely. I want to see spiritually paralyzed person, Lord, I want to see your name glorified in their lives. And if you come with such a faith, Jesus will answer and move in our midst. So, having the heart for others, maybe I'll show you one more verse. A simple way, Matthew chapter 18, a very simple way in which we can carry the needs of others. I think in prayer, throughout the day, if you're not sure what to pray for somebody in the church. Allow yourself to be integrated with the brothers and sisters in the church so that God is able to plant in your heart a burden to pray for somebody. Pray for somebody during the week. And then you'll find, you may not know what they're going through, but you allow the Lord to remind you of somebody's name during the week in this local church and pray for them. In Matthew 18, we read in verse 11, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You also read it in Luke 19. But here, it's interesting the context in which Jesus says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You know who he was talking about? Children. He says in verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Let me give you a little way in which you can be a shepherd. There's so many children. I see so many children in this church. You can be a shepherd to them. If you think, oh Lord, I don't know what to say, spend some time with the children. See to it that you don't despise. Many churches, people are interested in having conversations with the famous people and the important people. And they want to be in the group of cool people. People who are popular and gifted and rich and all that. Find those who are lonely. Find those that are despised. The children. Take a little time to talk to one of those little boys or one of those little girls and ask them, what class are you in? What are you studying? Or what do you like to do? Don't despise the little ones. Because Jesus has come to save the lost among us. And what a harvest we have in our church, even here in Bangalore, brothers and sisters, of children whom God wants to use for his kingdom. Let the Lord make us shepherds to everybody around us. I believe that a truly Christ-pleasing church is one in which he has many shepherds. Many shepherds. If everybody is a shepherd, that's a wonderful church. I don't know if there is even such a church, but we certainly want to come as close to that as possible. And if all of us can take that to heart, be a shepherd to anybody, somebody around us, even the little children, what a blessing it will be. Thank you for the 2 days of richness I've experienced among you all, dear brothers and sisters and children. You brought joy to my heart. You were a shepherd to me. Thank you. God bless you.